The Victorian Age, 1837-1901. Victorian Britain and the growth of industrial cities. The Victorian Age took its name from Queen Victoria, 1819-1901. Victoria came to the throne towards the end of the First Industrial Revolution. Industrialization had brought with it new markets and a period of rapid expansion. The modern urban economy of manufacturing industry and international trade took over from the old agricultural economy. By now, Britain had become the most powerful nation in the world. The fact that much of its wealth was the result of material exploitation of its growing number of colonies, as well as of the lowly paid workers who worked in the factories, was of little importance to the ruling classes. However, with the revival of revolutionary activity in Europe, the urban poor were perceived as a potential danger, and gradually, over the century, steps were taken to incorporate portions of the working classes into society through a series of reforms and progressive policies. By the 1850s, Britain had become a nation of town dwellers. People were mainly attracted to cities by the promise of work in the new factories. The main centers of industry experienced unprecedented growth. The seven largest cities after London were Liverpool, Manchester, Birmingham, Bristol, Leeds, Sheffield and Bradford. Life in the city. While the upper and middle classes made large profits from the expansion of industry, workers found themselves in less favorable circumstances. In industrial towns and cities, the minority property-owning class, 5% or less of the population, generally occupied up to 50% of the available land. The poor, on the other hand, were forced into overcrowded slums. The few existing building regulations were generally ignored, and cheap materials were often used to construct new buildings, ignoring crucial elements such as waterproofing, insulation, and plumbing. Residents had to pump water to take baths at home, and household waste of all types was dumped in courtyards. Moreover, communal toilets were not connected with drainage pipes, which were only built in the wealthier neighborhoods, and as a result, sewage often overflowed. All of these problems were multiplied by the large number of people living in small spaces. These unsanitary, crowded conditions led to the spread of deadly diseases like smallpox, cholera, and tuberculosis. The risk of epidemics, which also affected the urban middle classes, prompted the formation of city health boards and led to the implementation of schemes to improve sanitation and reduce overcrowding. To confront these terrible conditions, the government promoted a campaign to clean up towns devastated by epidemics and built modern hospitals. The pressure for reform and the Chartist movement. After the calls for democratic reform heard during the early years of the French Revolution, Britain had turned politically and violently conservatively, and both Tories and Whigs were initially fearful about extending the power to vote to the masses. The first Reform Bill of 1832 excluded the working classes and gave only limited representation to the mercantilist middle classes. Industrial regions of the country were not as well represented as those controlled by landed nobles and gentry. And voting, because votes had to be declared publicly, was often subject to bribery or intimidation. These factors gave rise to the Chartist movement, which emerged in 1836 and was most active between 1838 and 1848. The goal of the Chartists was to gain political rights for the working classes. It took its name from its formal petition, the People's Charter. The Charter listed the main aims of the movement, which contained 6 points. Votes for all men over 21, the secret ballot, voting, abolition of the property qualification for candidates seeking election, payment for members of parliament, so that working class men could also become members of parliament, the establishment of electoral districts equal in population, annual elections for parliament. The People's Charter was drawn up in 1838, but was rejected 3 times over a period of 10 years. The last Chartist petition was collected in 1848 and had, according to some sources, 6 million signatures. The plan was to deliver it to Parliament after a peaceful mass meeting. The government sent thousands of soldiers and police and banned the meeting. The petition was rejected, and this marked the end of Chartism, although its ideas continued to circulate. All the Chartist demands, except that for an annually elected parliament, eventually became law between 1860 and 1918, as a series of reform bills which gradually extended the vote to members of the working classes. The first two working class members of parliament were elected in 1874, and the Chartists' first demand, votes for all men over 21, was granted in 1918. Managing the empire. The Victorian period saw the expansion of Britain's empire all over the world, from Asia to Africa, to Central America to Oceania. Part of this expansion was due to the need to protect trade routes to and from India, the so-called jewel in the crown of the empire. India had been administered since the 17th century by the East India Company, which had employed a combination of bribery and violent coercion to take control of the country's resources. The Indian Mutiny of 1857 led to the closure of the company, and the administration of Indian territories was taken over by the British government. In 1877, Queen Victoria was declared Empress of India to consolidate popular support for the empire. Trade with India included tea, spices, silk, and cotton. It was vital to the British economy that routes across land and sea were safe. It was partly for this reason that Britain annexed a number of territories, including South Africa, to control the Cape of Good Hope. Egypt, to gain control of the newly built Suez Canal, linking the Mediterranean with the Indian Ocean, and Burma, Malaysia and Afghanistan, which formed the mainland route to India. However, control of these routes was made more difficult by political instability. On the Asian front, Russian aggression threatened the already weak and collapsing Ottoman Empire, leading to British and French military intervention, and the disastrous campaigns of the Crimean War during the 1850s. In South Africa, the claims of the Dutch settlers, the Boers, eventually provoked another conflict, the Boer Wars. These wars were extremely expensive and failed to defeat the Boers. Moreover, during the second half of the 19th century, both Germany and France became economic powers and, through their own colonies, began to rival Britain's imperial dominance in Africa. Another more independent part of Britain's imperial legacy was Australia, which had originally served as a prison colony where criminals and political agitators had been transported. Later, however, thanks to subsequent emigration, Australia began to develop as a white colony, with the settlers displacing the native aboriginals and establishing a modern agricultural and industrial society based on the British model.